WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Tonight, CBS devotes 2 hours of prime time to one of its most famous former employees, Walter Cronkite. The program is called Walter Cronkite Remembers, and TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
After Walter Cronkite retired from the CBS Evening News in 1981, the network basically ignored him for a very long time. Part of it was strategic. After all, their job back then was to build the reputation of his replacement, Dan Rather. So for a while, the man known as Uncle Walter, the man once voted the most trusted man in America, had to step out of the picture. But long after that was accomplished, Walter Cronkite remained an untapped resource at CBS. By the 90s, Cronkite was doing almost all his work for cable TV on the Discovery Channel. Even this new CBS special, Walter Cronkite Remembers, is getting better treatment on the Discovery Channel. Next year, Discovery will show it in expanded form as an 8-part series. So I guess we should be grateful that CBS has gotten around to Cronkite before the special would have had to be titled, Remember Walter Cronkite? And there's no question, Uncle Walter deserves the airtime to sit back and tell his old war stories. In his case, the wars include Vietnam and World War II. And his other stories include sitting at the anchor desk for the two most famous news events in the history of television. One was the assassination and funeral of John F. Kennedy in 1963. The other was the first moon landing in 1969. Walter Cronkite Remembers devotes a decent chunk of its airtime to those two stories, but not in the way you might expect. What makes this documentary entertaining as well as informative is that Cronkite isn't above making fun of himself, or giving others the opportunity to do the same. Wally Schirra, the astronaut who was Cronkite's on-air sidekick during the Apollo 11 coverage, remembers what it was like as Apollo 11 got closer and closer to the moon. We hear Wally, then we hear Walter, then we hear Wally again.
What can we say? What are you going to say when these men land on the moon?
Oh, well, I've considered that quite seriously.
I see, Walter. Well, thank you.
3, 2, 1, 0.
So we went on and had liftoff.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And then subsequent to liftoff is a quiet time where they're in orbit getting ready to burn to go on their lunar trajectory.
Hello there, Earthling.
I said, Walter, this really perplexes me. Here's a world-class journalist, and you're still procrastinating on what you're going to say when these men are on the moon. I'll be with you, and I'd like to get a feel for it.
Oh, I'll have something very good to say, Walter. No, don't worry about that. No problem at all.
Pound and a half. 30 seconds. Forward.
Finally, we're approaching lunar landing, and we're off camera, and we're looking at each other, and I said, Walter, what are you going to say?
Griffin,
Oh, jeez.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. You're looking good here.
What?
Okay, we're going to be busy for a minute.
Golly, gee, wow. The world-class journalist has spoken.
When that vehicle landed on the moon, I was speechless. I really couldn't say a thing.
In CBS News history, Cronkite does not exist in a vacuum. Edward R. Murrow and colleagues paved the way on both radio and television, and Dan Rather and others have carried on the tradition, or at least tried, at a time when ratings and budgets matter a lot more than they used to. In a way, Walter Cronkite Remembers is the central chapter in a capsule history of the evolution of TV news. But it's more than that because this special also is personal. Cronkite dismisses JFK conspiracy theories as Oliver Stone junk and tells a very funny story about the time his daughter Kathy, in 1969, asked for $5 from her dad to attend a concert with her friends. He said okay, thinking she was catching a local show at the Met. The concert, he found out a day or two later, was called Woodstock. In the 60s, when even a famous anchorman had to deal with the generation gap, that's the way it was.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.